Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for getting in contact with us at Urban Society. My name is Cobra Commander, and I'm here with my host, Mr. James Acevedo. How you doing tonight, Mr. James?
Hey, good evening, sir. How you be is?
I am amped. And also with our co-host, Mr. James Jones. How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good and warm.
That's good. That's good. Well, we're going to do something, a segment we have on here called Moments with Mr. Jones, where he's going to give you the up-to-date what's going on. I'm going to let Mr. Jones take that. Go ahead, Mr. Jones.
Okay, thanks a lot. What I want to read off first here is this Sigma Alpha Epsilon article. It pertains to the former University of Oklahoma fraternity member caught on video leading a racist chant. And it says here that he's deeply sorry for his role in the incident and upset and embarrassed that he failed to stop it. And it says further that the incident caused a national uproar and threw an unwelcome spotlight on fraternities that have recently been under fire over issues like sexual assault and race issues. And it goes further to say that flanked by several black Oklahoma City community leaders, including pastors and civil rights activists, Levi Petty, that's the guy who's doing the apologizing, Levi Petty publicly apologized following a meeting he had with civic leaders at a Baptist church on the city's predominantly black northeast side. And it goes further to say that some have wondered why I hadn't spoken out publicly. The truth is I have had a mix of pain, shame, sorrow, and fear over the consequences of my actions. I did not want to apologize to the press or to the whole country until I first came to apologize to those most directly impacted. He went further, it says further that Petty answered a few questions from reporters but declined to say who taught him the chant or where he learned it. And then Petty goes on to say, the truth is what was said in that chant is disgusting. And after meeting with these people, I've learned these words should never be repeated. State Senator Anastasia Pittman, who coordinated Wednesday's meeting after Petty reached out to her, says she believes Petty's apology is genuine and she has forgiven him. She went further to say this, State Senator Pittman says, I admire his courage of reaching out to me and saying, I want to meet with you face to face and apologize to you directly. And she went further to say that I believe he is sincere. But as for me concerning apologies, I mean, in a real sense, apologies are really neither here nor there, but they are somewhere. And in saying that, I also reflect on young girl pitching for some baseball team. And she was real good from what I understand. And she had a big write-up in the paper, national media and stuff like that. But then there was some white guy somewhere on some, I think, college team, wherever. He called her some kind of a slut. And then it turned out that he was kicked off the team that he was on. And it turned out further that this young girl somewhat came out in defense of him by saying that, number one, she forgave him in having said what he said about her, as disrespectful as it was, her being a child and all. And then she further said that she would hope that he'd be reinstated back on the team that he was kicked off of due to the fact that being a sports person like herself, she was sure that he worked hard to get to the position that he was in and was saying that she would wish he'd be reinstated. And I think that's, well, I'll put it this way, that's all well and good for those who maybe it's wrong to say who have that apologetic. But then again, there are many of us, I mean, black people, I mean, there are some of us who don't have it, who don't have that apologetic spirit. And having said that, I would say that there's nothing wrong with those who do have that spirit to, constantly accept, you know, wrongdoing and then accept apologizing, well, and then accept the apology from those whom have done them wrong. God bless them, but me and other people, we're not like that. And then again, just recently, that shooting there in South Carolina, that the guy's mother, she said on national TV how she forgave that cop. Now, me having heard that, I hollered out in disbelief that she would say something like that. But that's another issue there. But anyway, moving right along. I'll probably run out of time on this issue. But no, before I go to this other article here, I want to say something about the apology thing still. I recall once a person that I have once worked with, he told me concerning an apology, he had told me that he'd much rather apologize for something he know he shouldn't have done than be told no, that he can't do it. And I told him, yo, man, that's that's tricky. That you would think like that. And it's not correct that you would think like that. In other words, he's saying that, you know, he's going to do what he want to do. And if it turns out wrong or if someone is offended, fuck it, he'll just apologize. Terrible, just terrible. But anyway, this other article is from a professor, actually. She's a woman. Her name is Stacy Patton. I follow her on Twitter, and her and I are also Facebook friends. And she wrote this article in response to the negativity that the First Lady Michelle Obama had gotten from having attended that function, Black Girls Rock. The article starts off that she says that FLOTUS got reamed for cheering Black Girls Rock. Cosmopolitan magazine declared black women's trend dead. And Ms. Patton goes on to say, do white women need to denigrate black women to feel better about themselves? She goes further to say that I need to know why white America has such a problem with black women and girls who dare to love and think highly of themselves. Why does white America continually go out of its way to try to usurp black beauty with its own? We know the answer to these rhetorical questions. White supremacy and patriarchy apparently won't enable white women to feel to fully like themselves without hating us first. Black girls and women are told daily that their lives don't matter, that their voices don't count, and that they are angry, loud, undesirable, not marriage material, and the seeds of societal problems. We are told repeatedly that we don't rock, and she asks white women, is this your experience? And then she answers her own question, obviously not. One has to look no further than TV, the movies, magazines, ads, the classroom, and every damn where else to see how much you are loved, celebrated, and valued. I assume you know that this white woman victim paradigm is part of a larger racial history, since you've been practicing it for centuries. But in case you are afflicted by cognitive dissonance, let me educate you. On plantations where black women were raped, white women were largely silent. The silence and resulting complicity reflects how the denigration and violation of black women offered sexual power to white men. And when the children who sprang from these sexual violations served as a visual reminder of their husbands and fathers and brothers' indiscretions and taboo racial desires, white plantation mistresses blamed black women for it all. Ms. Patton then jumps back into the present. When we go missing, the media is least likely to cover the story because our lives don't matter. And when our unarmed offspring are murdered over and over again, we have to stew in a keg of our own tears and grief while listening to the country debate whether our children deserve to die. It is astonishing that this event stirs your pot of outrage and not school-to-prison pipeline, disparities in health care, and countless other inequities. Why do I only hear from you, Becky, when you feel excluded, when you are not the center of attention? Black Girls Rock, Incorporated, is a nonprofit youth mentoring and empowerment organization established to promote the art for young women of color to build their self-esteem and to discuss and analyze how women of color are portrayed in the media. Despite this positive mission, some people want to be haters. A white woman, Anne Cassinger Hallum, shared her pain and tears in advance of the April 5th broadcast. I am offended and disappointed with the award show Black Women Rock. I am a white woman living as a minority in a small town in California. I'm a teacher and I try and empower all my students. I could just imagine if some white lady decided to produce a show entitled White Girls Rock. She would probably be slaughtered by the press, branded a racist, and lose whatever credibility she earned. Miss Stacy Patton then wrote, blah, 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 girl, bye. So that's probably all my time right there, so I'm going to stop there and hand it back to the guys.
All right, Mr. Jones, I thank you for everything. And I'm going to say this, and I love your articles and so forth. I'm going to say they do White Girls Rock all the time. It's called the Cosmopolitan, the Grammys, anything else you want to think of. You know, you can go on and on and on, but that's a different story. We're going to jump right into it. Let's do our announcements and everything. I want everybody that's out there to give us a call at Dollhouse 646-595-4038. I'm going off the top of my head. Also, I want you to get into the chat rooms and definitely conversate with us and really give us what you think, because we're going to have an open panel with other hosts on here tonight. Mr. Acevedo, take us to our commercials and let's get into it.
You are tuned in to Dollhouse Radio, home of the indie artist and the hottest station on the net. We are live 7 days a week with 17 shows hosted by the sexiest hosts. Find out more about the Dollhouse Radio family by visiting our website at www.dollhouseradio.com. Find out the latest celebrity and adult entertainment gossip and indie music news on our Hot Sugar blog daily. We are looking to showcase the best in indie music this year. Interested in getting your music in rotation or having your video featured on our website? Be sure to send your music submissions in to dollhouseradiomusic@gmail.com. All music submissions must contain a bio or one sheet, promotional photos, and your music in MP3 format. Or purchase one of our promo packages on the Dollhouse Radio website to get guaranteed airplay, guaranteed interviews, and guaranteed video features. Businesses and promoters, are you looking to advertise your brand or event on Dollhouse Radio? Email your inquiries to Head of Promotions at Brian, that's B-R-I-A-N, DollhouseRadio@gmail.com. Interested in joining the Dollhouse Radio family? Got a hot show concept? Email DollhouseRadio@gmail.com and you might be the next show on our roster. Our Spotlight Artists of the Month are Sheree Lurie, Nuria Afonso, Heroin, Raphael, Carla Page, Young Peach, and Mila J. Coming this spring, Launchpad Radio returns, hosted by the legendary Ian Burke. Keep up with everything Dollhouse Radio by following us on Twitter at Dollhouse_Radio, and be sure to sign up on our mailing list on the website. And now, back to your program.
Thank you for coming back to us. We're going to jump right into our topic tonight. We also have other people from other shows on here tonight, and we have a round table man panel. That's what I call it, a round table man panel, because I put out a SOS for a state of emergency. What's going on? Is our other host on here?
Show. What's up, Cobra?
Hey. What's going on in this? Introduce yourself and let you know everybody who you are.
Oh, for sure. Everybody, what's up? This is your boy, Mercavelli. You know what I'm saying? Floss the Boss. And you can reach me on Twitter at the Boss Floss. That's what it do. How's everybody doing tonight?
Good.
Chillin'.
And our other host, is he here yet?
Mr. Timer.
Okay, we're going to go on. He may have not dropped in on us yet, but we're going to get right into the subject, fellas.
Mm-hmm.
We got a state of emergency. With an aspect of, we're going to go right into the North Carolina situation.
Oh, there's Timer. Timer.
Okay, so what's up, Mr. Timer?
I was on mute. What's up? It's the real Mr. Timer in the building. You can find me on Monday nights on Vamp City. You can find me on Wednesday nights on Truth Be Told. Hit me up at the real Mr. Timer on Twitter. It's good to be on the show. Hey, what's up, Familia? How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, man? How you doing? How y'all doing? Well, we're going to jump right into it. Like I said, we're going to discuss North Carolina. We already know the situation with Mr. Walter Scott. They just buried that brother just yesterday. And basically, in a nutshell, it's another man being shot down in the street. We have video footage showing literally shot down in the street. I call it a state of emergency because it's becoming a regular thing in this 2014-15 years. I'm going to give you all a statistic I find. 253 black men killed at the hands of policemen in 2014. And it's more people, black men have died in that 1 year than people died in 9/11. It was only 2038 in 9/11. So you see where I'm going with this. I need to know, how can we change it? How can we buckle down and make this happen for us? Because we are in hunting season, and we are the hunting. So I'm going to let this go straight to my man, as I always do, James Acevedo. What do you think? How can we stop being the hunting? And I'm going to give you another statistic right real quick. Last year, 32 Puerto Rican males were murdered in the United States by cops as well. So it's not just one color. It's not just black men. It's men of color. So I'm going to go straight to Mr. Acevedo. What do you think, sir?
Well, with those statistics you just said, what's real scary about those statistics, those are ones that are recorded. I think there's more than that that we don't know about that's not recorded. So just imagine the numbers on that. Because that's even scarier to even think of that. As far as what's been going on, this is something that it seems like the cycle never ends. I mean, this even goes before what happened in Ferguson and everything else that's happened throughout the decades. It's just something that it just seems like it's a never-ending cycle of this horrible incidences that has been happening, especially within not even a year, as far as publicly, you know, with Ferguson, and then you have the South Carolina incident, and then you had the other, you know, the gas station incident that, you know, they thank God the guy lived, when the guy just basically shot the guy in a gas station, and the guy actually lived, which was amazing. And then you have all these other incidences that, you know, in L.A., what happened during the summer, and all this and so forth. And it's, unfortunately, it's something that's it's common that's happened every day. It, you know, this is not something new. We all know this. You know, we all been on this planet long enough to know that this has been going on for a very long time, even before we were born. And unfortunately, it's not changed. You know, and it's up. It's just different. It's funny how there was just an incident not too long ago where there was a couple of white people. I forgot the actual. I heard about it. I forgot all the details. But they basically got into something, and they were basically reprimanded properly without being shot at and without, you know, being killed before they were pretty much handcuffed. So it's funny how it's a double standard, unfortunately, when it comes to men of color, that if they see a perpetrator or what they think is a perpetrator running, that right away they think to shoot first and ask questions later instead of just, you know, getting the guy down. And in this case, like what happened with this Eric Harris, I know I'm jumping ahead, but Eric Harris, that happened today, they took the man down, and this 73-year-old cop, which, by the way, like I told Cobra off the air, like how's a guy being the force 73 years old? That's what I want to know. Anyway. But I just want to know, why is this going on? And then, oh, I made a mistake. I thought the this was a stun gun I took out and not a gun. Oops. Ooh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there.
Yeah.
I'm going straight to Floss. Floss, what you think? What do we need to do to stop these things happening to us?
Hey, man, the only thing we can do is unify. I mean, we have the technology to do it. We just, like the whole debate that they had about police trying to tell you to turn your cell phones off and stuff. I mean, we need more people videotaping when other people pulled over. I mean, you know, there needs to be footage of all this stuff and more documentation, you know what I'm saying, the more people get to witness what's happening, as well as video. And we need to come together, man. We need to all be tightly knit, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, Floss, you brought something up. I'm going to throw this at you, Floss. I just down here, they trying to vote in Miami and Florida that if a person is videotaping a situation with a cop, you could be arrested for obstruction of the law.
Of justice, yeah.
Of justice down here. And so they trying to do that as well. So I'm a Floss. I appreciate it. We do need more people doing that. I'm going to go straight to Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, what do you think?
Well, basically, I think a lot on this. I mean, it's got me depressed. I mean, whenever these things happen, I do, in fact, get depressed behind them. But also, I will say that when I began to see this thing here being posted initially on Facebook, I didn't look at it. I was going to look at it, and I didn't look at it. It wasn't until the next morning when I was watching CNN. That's when they had shown, because I was watching CNN, and then I guess I was looking for context, you know, behind what had taken place. And what I would say to that concerning the actual situation there, people are making a whole lot to do about how this was the first time such a thing has been caught on film, which is true, but not true. It is true in the sense that it's the first time an actual police killing have been caught on tape, but it's not but it's not true in the sense that it's the first time that one of these type situations have been caught on tape. The first one was Rodney King. I mean, having seen that, I never forget that, having seen that. That was most infuriating to me. But anyway, that was the first one, and we've seen what happened with that, although it was the first time that that had been caught on tape, and everybody was sure that surely these cops are going to be in jail, reprimanded or something. No, never mind.
I'm going to stop you right there, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones, I'm going to stop you right there because you just brought something that I was going to bring. Just because they have Mr. Slegger, officer, former Officer Slegger, on tape, as Mr. Jones just said, Rodney King, they have beautiful footage of this man getting his ass whipped, and everybody got acquitted. Don't mean, do you think that Mr. Slagger going to jail? I'm putting that, anybody can answer that.
Well, concerning that, let me say I was watching Melissa Harris Parris today, and some former lawmaker there in South Carolina had said that it's not an uncommon thing for police people down there to be arrested and indicted. It's not uncommon. Matter of fact, he said it's a usual thing. But what is not usual is that, how can I put it? No. He has said that, like, but what never happens is that those cops are never found guilty. They are
exactly what you, Mr. Jones, were you hitting the head on the nail? Because I'm gonna give you a statistic right now. Down in South Carolina, this year alone, in 2015, they have had over 33 cops indicted, and no one went to jail yet. 33.
Shocker.
Now, so he's pretty much saying the truth. It is a common thing for them to indict cops down there, but doing jail time is next to none. And like I said, so I'm gonna go. I heard my man Timer say something. Mr. Timer, you got something to say?
Huh? I was just agreeing with you. The indict, you know, it's just all about, you know what I'm saying, what, yeah, they can take them to court all day, but what's beyond court, you know what I'm saying? And the sentences that they're getting is just slaps on the wrist, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. But, you know what I'm saying, they're committing murder, you know, right in front of our eyes, you know what I'm saying? So, I mean, what we need to do as you know what I'm saying, as a whole, is just to be more knowledgeable, you know what I'm saying? Know our laws, know our rights, you know what I'm saying, as citizens of this great nation. You know what I'm saying, that it really is, you know what I'm saying, only slack is we don't exercise our right enough to actually, you know what I'm saying, to actually know what it is to have that power, you know what I'm saying, within a vote alone, you know what I'm saying, going to the polls, you know what I'm saying, by us going to the polls is voicing, is letting our voices be heard. Therefore, the laws that they're trying to pass, every 25 nigger ride through these city limits, pull them over. If we're not going to the polls, we don't see that law on the books. So therefore, anybody that agrees with it and feel like it's a dandy ideal and a great law, they're going to vote for it. But if we're not there to vote against it, then really, where is the volume in our voices? The volume is so fucking low where, I mean, let's be honest, you know what I'm saying? We're not being heard, you know what I'm saying? Unless we have things that, you know, with the technology, the cell phones, you know what I'm saying? Unless we have stuff like that that's actually catching these cops and other, you know what I'm saying, levels of law enforcement that's abusing their power, then, you know what I'm saying, it's just hearsay, you know what I'm saying? And even with the proper evidence, it's still hearsay. I mean, that's what...
Okay, I'm going to go with you on that, Timer, that we need to go to the polls. Now, here's the thing. Most people will vote for presidential, but
yes,
how many brothers and sisters know their senator or governor? See, the thing about it, the laws that affects you are local. You got to go into the local law. Voting for the president, because the president going to do this for us. The president can give a law, but that law trickles down. That takes years for that law to come into effect, whereas your local governor can make a law tomorrow that affects you the next day. So people need to get that in that mind. You need to go to the local things and learn what's locally going on in your districts and so forth. And I'm going to go to Mr. Jones on this one in the aspect of, Mr. Jones, I'm going to ask you a simple question. As black men, and I'm going to say this first and foremost, that man running from that cop was absolutely stupid. That, be honest, that was the most stupid thing he could have done. Now, but that being said,
he panicked.
As black men, how can we protect ourselves when we go through situations of one-on-one with cops? Should we fight back? Should we carry arms? Should we be willing to go to the limit with it? Because right now it's a point, if you get an encounter with a cop, can ICE almost automatically lead you to death? How can we protect ourselves?
Well, that's a really that's not such a simple question. I mean, self-protection and or self-defense, that's evident in itself. I'll say that firstly, because well, me personally, I'm not gonna let nobody put their hands on me without me putting my hands back on them. I mean, as Chuck D had once put it, how did he say it? A police, wild beast, dogs on a leash, it don't matter. I'm not going out like that, first off. But then again, that's another issue. I'm talking about my own personal situation. And in having spoke about my own personal mindset, I would say that this here is a problem that I think we as black people do have. There are not enough of us who do have that kind of mindset to do whatever it takes to maintain our I don't want to say dignity. Well, dignity and also self-respect, because the thing is, it's most disrespectful for a cop to just walk up to you and just start patting on you. What the fuck? You know, that's most disrespectful. So, therefore, you know, we don't have enough people who are willing to stand up and tell that cop, no, you're not going to do that to me. Because we know that once we do come off like that, then he's offended. That police person is highly offended, and then that's when he called the rest of his, let me say, rat pack. And then, you know, well, okay. Hell, it's a fight to the death. But then again, it's more so because, you know, there are not enough black people who are willing to go the distance.
Okay, Mr. Jones, up in New York, if I'm not mistaken, they had a stop and frisk law, and you all are not allowed to carry arms in New York. Is that not true?
But it's not just about – it's well, like again, as Chuck D put it, from Public Enemy, he's from New York, and he had in his rap "Rebel Without a Pause," he had said, you know, no gun is still never on the run. That's true, like that for men who are men, don't need no gun, but it'd be better if we have one, then we can just
well. I'm gonna go with Chuck D, and I'm appreciating you quoting Chuck D to the D, because I'm an old school rapper. But Chuck D, no gun will get you killed these days.
Well,
you
what
gotta
is
have something. Let me go to someone else. I'm gonna go to Oscar Middle and say, my man is quoting Chuck D down to the T, and I'm appreciating that. So, but the thing about it is, dude, no gun. He said no gun, and still on the run. He said no gun. He don't need no gun. But when the enemy got guns, there's no run. They got 17 friends that can hit you at any point in time. So, what you think?
Well, first of all, with the stop and frisk rule, that was a law that was put down by Bloomberg. Bloomberg was the one that had that down that we had for a few years, and he got an extra term, which is another story. And we had this law going around. And when Blasio came in this past November, that's when the stop and frisk rule was uplifted, because it was considered racial profiling. But because of that being taken away is one of the reasons why Eric Garner, I say, was killed. And let me explain why. If the stop and frisk rule was still in effect, they wouldn't have jumped on homeboy like they did. Now, what I said, it could still happen anyway, but the chance of happening to Eric Garner would have definitely happened less, because the stop and frisk rule was in effect. But because it wasn't in effect, they just took it upon themselves, well, he's illegal cigarettes he's selling, you know, Lucy's, as we say. And, you know, they just jump on the guy, and then basically, you know, they choke, illegal choke, and the rest was history. And it was on video. And as we know, when it's put on video, it doesn't always mean that the cops will be going to be thrown in jail. Now, this guy in South Carolina.
Okay, okay,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna go to Floss. What my man just said, he said, I don't know the St. Louis law. Y'all down in St. Louis and every state is much different. The cops down there, from my experience, are basically a beast on that traffic. I think you all make you all money off of traffic down there, and they are on you. You're a black man in down here in St. Louis, they pulling that ass over. Plain and simple. And that's anywhere. Am I about right, Mr. Floss?
Like yeah, you absolutely right, Cobra. Me and Tom, we just got pulled over the other day. Not trying to air out dirty laundry, but I mean, we rode off like made niggas, and I had my gun on me, and my gun is totally legal. I'm not going to run from the police. You know what I'm saying? I see, because the police understand when they in the presence of a real nigga, they can feel it just like you can feel it when you're in the presence of a real guy. You see what I'm saying? And I talk to them. I don't mouth off to them. There's no reason to. There's no need to. You got your license. I didn't even have my license on me. No, I don't have my license. I know my Social Security number, and we got to let go. You see what I'm saying? But it's madness around here. I mean, as far as what James said about Chuck D, which I'm a big Public Enemy fan, you know what I'm saying? But people got to understand is that Chuck D was also speaking about a time and a moment in history, which is exactly what I just called it, history. This is a whole different time, a whole different era. You running without your gun, or you running with your gun, you still going to get some. You see what I'm saying? It's either way. You know what I mean? So these cops, it's just a way more brutal time, for real. So, I mean, me, hey, all I do is roll legal. Police get behind me all day. You right about what you're saying about them pulling people over. Ferguson wasn't the only municipality down here pulling black, stopping black people. You had Ledoux. She go over to St. Charles. That's still considered St. Louis. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got a bunch of municipalities out here. That's why we hang in the city, for real. That's where the black people are, you know what I'm saying?
I'm going to be honest with you. I was down in St. Louis about 3 months ago, and I had to rent a car to doing some business down there, and I swear on everything I love, I was down there for 1 week, and for a week, I got pulled over at least 5 different times.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just for the hell of it.
And that's why I love Cobra, and that's why, like, next time you come down, when you ride with me, you're going to see how the police get behind us, and I'm going to be like, watch them run my plates. And I'm going to be like, watch them make a U-turn, because they do it so many times, it's unbelievable. You're going to be like, damn, Floss, seriously, my place is totally legit. You better have a better reason to pull me over. Truth be told.
See, and that's truth be told right there. And I'm going to let you know that we're going to break. I think we should be running on our first break. Ain't that right, Mr. Acevedo?
Yeah, right now the Blog Talk is acting a little antsy right now. So we can continue until.
Okay, I'll keep it going. Well, I'm going to go into the next situation. Mr. Acevedo touched on it slightly before. It was a man down here that basically got jumped and shot. The 73-year-old officer went to tase him, accidentally grabbed his gun and shot him. Yeah. And you heard the man say, oh, God, bad damn. And the other cop's like, fuck it. The man's telling him, I'm losing my breath. I'm dying. He's like, fuck you and your breath. Mm-hmm. And then pretty much just put him in handcuffs. Here's the situation. They knew they were being taped. So I'm going to ask your opinion on this situation. As Acevedo said the first, how to hit a 73-year-old officer even handling a damn gun. But that's a different subject. But how you all? I want to ask you all, what is the situation when someone is accidentally shot by a cop? How should they be handled?
You're asking how should a person be handled if he or she accidentally shoots a person? Is that the question?
If the cop accidentally shoots you, the man was being arrested.
I think it's. It's all about on how the cop react is what's going to make me react. Because, like in what you just said, where the other cop was like, fuck it, that's going to make me annoy, man. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, my reaction is probably going to be irrational. Now, if the cop like, hold on, calm down. I'm calling the ambulance right now. You see what I'm saying? That's a whole different situation. I really feel like it was an accident. You see what I'm saying? But if I heard the other cop like, nah, fuck it. You know, fuck your breath. Nah, that's, who wouldn't panic?
Right.
You know what
okay,
I'm
here's
saying?
The thing. I'm gonna be 100 about the 73-year-old cop. He was genuinely. Oh my God, I'm sorry, I shot him. He said it several times. He even dropped his weapon and shot. He accidentally shot this man. The other cops around here was being belligerent and telling him pretty much fuck you and so forth. I'm gonna say to Mr. Jones how you should handle that when you've been shot and you know it's a genuinely mistake on one half, but the other cops are abusing you. How should you do that?
Well, okay. I'll say firstly that I had seen that particular situation posted on my Facebook feed, but I didn't look at it because, like I said, like the walker or the Scott thing. I didn't really want to see that, so therefore I didn't see this one either. But I heard on the Melissa Harris Perry show they spoke about it. And then again, they also spoke about that 75-year-old individual. And they had said that basically he was either an auxiliary cop or he was one of those ride-along people. You know, he kind of like volunteered for that activity. And then secondly, I had also heard that he ran some kind of company where he had a lot of dealings with stun guns. We're talking about tasers now, stun guns. They call them either or. They interchange the name. But anyway, he's dealt with stun guns before. So therefore, I will say, how in the F can he not distinguish a gun from a stun gun when he handles stun guns, no doubt, more than guns?
He's a Walmart. He's a Paul Blart from Walmart. You know, the mall cop.
Well, I'm agreeing with this. You know what? It's not that often I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna go with Mr. Jones and I'll say the word. How the fuck did he confuse the truth?
Because the thing about it is.
And here's my thing is, where was his taser? The only way you can confuse your taser from your gun is they both on the same goddamn hip. That's impossible. I've never seen both cops with their same weapon on the same side. So how did he confuse the two? And that being said, like you said, he panicked?
He probably did panic. I mean, if you think about it, he wanted to ride along cops. He don't really get a lot of action. I think of Kevin Hart when I think of Ride Along, that movie that let me down. I thought it was going to be funnier, but anyway, that's a whole different topic. But seriously, I mean, if you ain't used to those type of situations, you got people that's security guards. You got people that's different types of things. But when I just went through a security guard class, and when you as a security guard down here, unless you are the armed security guard, which I wasn't, you're not supposed to get in confrontations and stuff. You see what I'm
Absolutely.
Saying? You're supposed to, right. So it's a whole
right.
different thing, but you're still like, you're not a law enforcement person, but you still,
yep.
people look at you like that. So he
yep.
didn't have experience, and he could have got annoyed. I mean, you know, when something going down and you know you riding along with the real police and it's going to be some real action and you ain't really been through too much action, yeah, he probably was thinking quick and stupid. I mean, we all human beings, man, and we make dumb mistakes. He was nutting up. Truth be told.
Okay, and
you know
also,
what I mean?
And I'm going to be real with you, Floss, and I'm going to go to Acevedo with this. And he also is 73 years old. That Jackie
yeah,
old dude, man, even if he was
he
in action, he's 70-something years old.
He shook.
Said Mayberry. You wrong for that. He shook. He don't know what's going on. He pulled the first thing he could pull out to protect himself. But that's something
right.
different. And I'm going to go with
yep.
something totally
True
different on that one. And I'm going to Acevedo. I'm going to say this. Comment on what I said earlier, you being the man of different color here, saying that my man just got out of jail. The one that picked Eric Gardner being killed. The young Puerto Rican young dude just got out of jail. They raised up the money to GoFundMe, got enough to get him out of jail. They put him in jail for basically recording it. They got some false charges. They put him and his girl. And the man just got out, and he absolutely have no criminal hard criminal background. You know, everybody done some bullshit in their lifetime as young people. But they were, do you feel as after that they intentionally came after him because he recorded that video?
That's crazy. I mean, to think that if that's what, see, that's a thing when you think deep about it, like you were saying earlier, Cobra, about, you know, wanting to put a law, you know, where it'd be obstruction of justice or something, if you're going to film something like this. See, I mean, you know, it's like they're trying to find anything to try to stop, you know, the madness from going, you know, from being stopped. And I say, whoever that dude was, you know, thank God for that guy, that he was smart not to go to the police department. He just went straight to the media with it. Because you know what would have happened if we went straight to the cops. Well, we need to investigate this, and let me see that tape, and we'll look into it, and then that'll be destroyed. You know, that's what would have happened. So, unfortunately, hopefully, that law will not come to place, and that guy in South Carolina would be made an example of. Because if not, you know, I'm sorry. All this we shall overcome shit going to stop. And it's gonna get ugly. I'm sorry. We're going to keep it real here.
Is
enough for this
okay.
shit.
Okay.
I'm serious.
What I want to know, bro, is how can
okay.
you obstruct justice when you have a device, a camera, or mm-hmm. cell phone or anything where you can zoom in. You could be filming from way far away and zoom in. How can they give you obstruction of justice? I mean, I understand. I know that's real what you're saying, but I just don't understand their logic.
They're trying to do anything.
Yeah.
And I do mean anything, any
yeah.
form of fashion to stop your civil liberty. Let me finish. They're trying to stop your civil liberty of protecting yourself. So if you
right,
got family,
right, exactly.
you got a situation,
great point.
And you got a situation of, like you got with Mr. Scott. Now, my problem is this, and I said this to Timer, I've said this to Acevedo, and I'm going to say it again. Here's the situation. You arresting Swagger. In my mind, it should have been 6 cops fired. And I'm going to tell you why.
Yep.
6, because there were 6 other cops that collaborated the story of Swagger. So in my mind, it's not
yep.
one dirty cop. It's 6
yep.
dirty cops here.
Yep.
Right.
So the thing about it is, but they ain't talking about the other 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give props to Officer Williams. Officer Williams was the young black man that you saw on the video cutting open the brother's shirt. He was also the black man officer that told that Puerto Rican young man to upload this and to leave. He
right.
told him to leave. The point
right.
of the fact is, he knew this was wrong. He knew what happened. He knew
right.
it was bullshit, but he was still trying to protect himself because he would have been in harm's way, but also get this information out to that Puerto Rican. So they told
him
to stay right here.
It.
Upload it, and once, and I'm gonna pull an STL on you. Once it's in the cloud, what you say?
Well, hey, it's in the
yeah.
cloud. It's gone.
Yeah, exactly.
I tell people that all the time. I tell
it's
people,
gone.
Hey, whatever thing you on, whether it's Facebook or Twitter, once you send it, no matter if you erase it, I don't care if it didn't make it to the rest of the world. Guess who still got it? Everybody who runs Facebook and Twitter. They still got
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
It's just like how the
and
cops
you
go back and say, pull up his messages that he erased off his phone for the last 3 days.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, right. Want to see those. By the way,
see,
I got
Go ahead, Acevedo. I got
the studio back in control, so whenever you want to do a break, we can do a break.
Okay, let's go and do this break then. We need to go and do that break. We late with the break.
Well, yeah. I take responsibility for that. This will be this song is Spiff featuring Busta Rhymes and Buzz Calhoun with Big Rings, and we'll be back here on Urban Society here on Dollhouse Radio.
You would think I play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings. You would think I play ball for these big rings.
Nah, niggas be hoping that this type of shit ain't soon.
Niggas be hoping that I stop fucking their ass up soon. Well, that shit ain't happening no time soon. Paper Rock Conglomerate, yo. Now, I can fuck shit up again until the dance starts.
Damn, son.
So many zeros in my checks. Can you imagine when I cash
uh-huh.
one? Pass some of them bottles around like we a man.
Uh-huh.
Pardon my team for pulling up a couple Aston Martins, and I'm farting, and I'm shitting on you niggas like, look what we be starting.
Uh-huh.
Tell you niggas get it right. Ooh. Bottles full of arson. Sorry, niggas need a light. Prior to the heat, I
okay.
might lock shit down a little. From stepping in the spot, I hope you don't mind. Disrespect it.
Uh-huh.
These bitches call me Dolce Rhymes, and you don't say I'm the pressure you don't mess with. Press up on you niggas, turn your face into a press kit. Yeah, you heard the messenger. Get with the commissioner. Hot shit, that's why I walk with a fire extinguisher. Double shot of Tron, should be calling to the Dillinger. 40 karat yellow diamond, pinky ring or kill him, bro.
You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. For these play ball.
You would think I play ball. Watch me do my thing, I'm like Gold Bugs McDonald. All these carrots in my brain, Sierra Leone stones. That cost a small fortune. But it ain't nothing to a general when he's bossing. Coming down the lane with rings, they never seen me and my team. We getting cream and looking so clean. You would think I was a pledge of Bob Duke Kareem.
Woo!
Hitting bands fast is part of my routine.
You would think I play ball.
The way I do this, I'm born the way I do this. I'm painting the town, riding, see me stunting in my new whip. Mashing on the gas with a pocket full of gas. They thinking it's D-Wade when I'm rolling down the Ave now. It's the go-getter, get more cheddar, general, but cow, so much numbers in my ledger, I could get a big ring for every day of the week. I got my jeweler like a doctor on call. You would think I play ball.
You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. You would think I play ball for these big ring balls. For these play ball for these big ring
balls. I put in work for these big rings. You gon' need a black card for these big rings. Tight words, got your boy
boy rocking iceberg. Julie hitting up my iPhone first serve. I ball like Doc Julius Earth. And when I shoot, I'm ahead, call me Larry Bird. I'm a legend in anything that you did already. In other words, everything you say in a cemetery. A ball spin it, 20 years I did it. I'm the whole mansion. Nigga, you just shitting, you can catch me in the club. With my diamonds so loud, DJ can't play light. Nigga, turn your shit down. I ring like the wild heart to ride. You cops are gonna hear damn least you drive. But this you gonna need a little time, homie. This is big ring shit, not small money. Mr. Lewis.
That's Big Rings by my man Busta Rhymes and Buzz Calhoun. We're going to get right back into this. Acevedo, I'm going to speak for you because you made a point that I thought was critical here. My man basically said that we shall overcome BS is played out. This is 2000 motherfucking 15. Okay, how can we address this situation, man? Because the thing about it is, you see these people marching, you see them with their sign, Black Lives Matter and all these things. You see them going, doing their thing, and it actually looks good. It looks nice. Because the thing about it is, but do you think the cops are taking you seriously? Do you think the cops really give a damn that you're marching or not? How can we make them give a damn and know that we're being for real? I mean, this is to anybody on the board who want to address it. Go ahead, jump on in.
Well, I would say to that, that it's not even a thing about them taking us seriously, basically because they don't even consider us. Actually, I mean, they see us, and then it's like automatically they feel that they have the right to do whatever they want to us. And in fact, that is in fact what they do. And it's just not now as in 2015, but this is going on. This has been going on, let us say, ever since we in this country have been let out of slavery. I mean, after that period, you know, you had the actual lynchings and carrying on and all those other atrocities. But then again, remember, during the period of slavery, such wasn't actually the case because then we were property and then again we were worth something to those bastards. But now that we are no longer slaves, to them, really, we're not worth anything. They consider us really, really worthless, not even as human. That's how and why these things do in fact take place, because if they would see the humanity in us, they wouldn't do what they do. Case in point, when it comes to themselves or like most, more so people who look like them, they don't do that. Why? Because they recognize something in that person who look like them. We can say humanity, but is that really what it is?
Okay, I'm going to go with Mr. Jones right there. Mr. Jones just said a critical thing, and I'm putting this on the board. I'm going to give you an example of what Mr. Jones just said. In Arizona, it was a roving family just got into a fight. A Caucasian family got into a fight with a bunch of cops. They were fighting. Walmart was fighting. The cops were fighting. They tased these motherfuckers. They sprayed them and sprayed them down. They still shook it off. The cops did not fire on them until they fired on the cop. Cop got shot in the leg. He killed one of them. Other seven of them went to jail. Here's the situation. Now, may that been eight Negroes out there in the streets fighting cops. How many you think would have made it alive to that station?
Zero.
None. So I'm going to go with Mr. Floss on this. Mr. Floss, he said it's humanity or they see themselves in these individuals that look like themselves. Going back to my original question, he said they don't even see us. Then that's going back to making them think we're for real. How can we make them see us? Mr. Floss, what you think?
Hey, people got to remember, Cobra, we got people who then came out and tried, you know what I'm saying, to make them see us. I go back to, like, the February 3rd, 2013 thing with Christopher Dorner, who was a military cat, you know what I'm saying? And they try to say people just flip out and go crazy. But I believe some of these military people who become police, and it's another guy, his name was Sergeant Shamar Thomas, and he was walking through I want to say it was New York where Yankee Man from. But, I mean, he's walking through and huh?
NYC. Yep, that's where I'm from.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember about Shamar Thomas? He's a Marine, and he walking through the streets, and he was yelling at the police, "Why are you harming these people? These people haven't done anything." You know what I'm saying? That's way back from 2011.
Yeah.
But the thing is, people, you know, even people that's worked for branches of the government are trying to come out and say things. It's not just us. It's not just your average, everyday person. You know what I'm saying? You got people who was in branches of government, and I believe they find out things, man, because the way I look at it, with the whole shooting thing, you know what I'm saying, with the cops, who runs the cops? Who's big brother to the cops? The same big brother that takes taxes from us. So that's who running them. If they tell them, hey, if you kill somebody, you won't be in, you know, you won't go to prison. You won't be found guilty. Then, I mean, you see what I'm saying? They ran by somebody. It can't just be that all these cops are just now thinking, I'm just going to go out and kill me a nigga today, without thinking that it's going to be some repercussions, unless they know it ain't going to be no repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I'm saying that, what needs to happen is, back to your question, what needs to happen, man, it's a lot that needs to happen. It ain't just one thing, it's multiple things. That we all as colored people need to do.
Okay, we here, brother. Let's dive right into it. Give me one thing in your mind. You say it's multiple things. Give me one thing that we need to do.
I would say one of the first things we need to try to change the mindset of the youth, some of these teenagers and the way they coming up. Because the only reason.
Stop right there.
Let me finish for a second.
Go on, finish.
Then it's going to be real quick. If you think about how me and the people right here on this panel came up, and even though I don't know y'all backgrounds, from the way everybody talks here, I know that there was somebody positive and that was a role model in all our lives. And I think that's something that's lost in a lot of these kids' lives.
Bingo.
You see what I'm saying? Man, they are the future, because we the frontline soldiers. So we the ones going to have to do something about it. The kids are the future. You see what I'm saying?
I'm gonna go with you on that, Floss. But you can't change the mind of the goddamn teenagers and the kids if the goddamn parents are fucked up. We got to change the minds of the parents first. Now, because the thing about it is, I come from a two parent household. I have my mother and father. I'm gonna go to timing with this. We need, in my mind, and I'm gonna go back here. And Mr. Jones, this is your topic. We're gonna get right on it, because I'm gonna think like this, Mr. Scott. Mr. Scott is dead. Mr. Scott is dead with child support. That's where basically he was running from. That'd be 100. So the thing about it is, the child support was the threat in his mind that made him want to run, even though they found out he didn't even have a warrant for that. But he thought about it, because this man been in and out of jail on child support. And here's my thing, and I'm going to go there and I'm going to say it. I'm about to say it. That black woman put him in jail. That brought that fear to make that man run, that eventually got him there. Disagree if you want. Who want to jump on it? Go for it.
Well, I would definitely agree with that. But go ahead. Go ahead, Timer.
No. I'm going to let Mr. Jones go first. Timer, you right behind him. Go.
Well, okay. Basically, to me, that sounds like, one, you're blaming two victims there. You're blaming Mr. Scott for... getting killed, and then you're blaming another victim, the mother of his children. However she plays into this, I don't know.
Because
the thing is, that cop shot him. Basically, for what? Running? The reason for him having run is said that because he possibly owed child support, then didn't want to go back to jail. But then again, it could have been another reason. But then again, this is the stated reason. But then again, people do run from cops.
There is
but
no
then
other
again,
reason,
but,
Mr. Jones.
But then again, at
no
the same time,
reason,
that
Jones,
does not give cops
Mr.
the right to shoot.
Okay, Mr. Jones, there was no other reason. This man, they digged in him after he was the victim before he was the he was the suspect before he was a victim. They digged his past. This man didn't even have a violent history. For 31 years, he had not been in trouble with
no
law except for child support.
No, we are just, well, in my opinion, just being black in this society. Well, more so just being black in this world, we are victims. We are victims because of a racist because of a racist society.
Go ahead, Simon. Simon said no. Go ahead, Simon.
everything.
Don't hold your tongue down. Say it.
Shut my mouth wide open. I mean, at the end of the day, I can't see. Child support is not something that man should have lost his life over. You know what I'm saying? I come from an era where back in the day, it seemed like when police, that was the only time police didn't shoot at an individual is when you were running from because your back is doing so, therefore you're no longer a threat. You know what I'm saying? So, and the video clearly states that the man didn't turn around to look over his shoulder at the cops, so why did he shoot him? You know, dude's on foot. Police has a police cruiser. I mean, it doesn't make sense. Now, I mean, we're the victims as long as, you know what I'm saying, a victim is a victim if you pretty much bow, you know what I'm saying,
yeah.
In the sense of what you just said. As regards to black folks being a victim, we are, but yet we aren't. We're victimizing ourselves by not strengthening our race, our culture, you know what I'm saying, as far as opening the communication. The way that we're going to fix this whole problem is to go back to, like you said, we need to reach these youth. Reaching the youth starts with the community, the village, you know what I'm saying? But nine times out of ten, it seems that we're afraid to address these youth and say good morning, good afternoon, how are you, what are you up to, are you still in school, how's school? I mean, how often do we do that? We don't, but yet we talk about what we need to do, but like you said a while ago on Truth Be Told, Cobra, who's going to lead? You know what I'm saying? It's about, let's not talk about what we need to do, and that's our problem. We're talking about what we need to do. It's about what we're going to do, because what we're going to do is take our community back, first off, because, you know what I'm saying, we're letting all these laws that don't apply in our household affect our household. You know what I'm saying? And
exactly.
We're brought up,
exactly.
We're wise enough to know what and what not to do, because the things that some people do, you know, behind closed doors, you know what I'm saying, like the child abuse and whatnot, you know what I'm saying, that's inhumane. I'm talking about, there's crazy folks, there's good, bad, and ugly in every race. You know
Absolutely.
What I'm saying? We as a black people just need to, what are we going to do is the question. It's not what can we do, it's what are we going to do. You know what
okay,
I'm saying?
Okay, I'm gonna take what Tom is saying. I'm gonna interject here. I'm gonna take what Tom is saying. It's good and the bad and the ugly in every race. And I'm gonna go here with the Caucasian white race. One thing I know about white people, and I'm gonna say this, they will separate themselves from white trash. They will separate themselves from anything that is belittling them. They don't have no problem with separation. Now, as black folks, we don't do that.
Nope.
We do
right.
not. The first thing I feel we need to do, and agree, you all, I'm going to put it open on the floor. I feel that we need to have what you go old school, like that movie, The Purge. We need to purge these niggas out of our neighborhood. Agree or disagree? Who go first? Go first. We need to
right.
purge them out.
Well, that's a varied, that's a varied solution, because then again you have to determine who are or who are not the niggers, because in one instance you and then again who are going to be the purgers, because you know individuals are individuals in the sense that you know those whom you think you're purging, they may also feel that you need to be purged.
Well, the thing about it is that's where we have a formulation of community conversation. We sit down as a community as a whole. Come on now. And we all are black Puerto Ricans and so forth here. You know who the niggas in your neighborhood are. You know
You
know the drug dealers.
Well,
you know
that's
these
not,
cats.
That's not what I'm saying exactly. What I'm also saying is that, okay, what is that phrase is like when you point one finger, what is it, forward, point back at you or something like that? That goes both ways. And then again, having said that, I'll go into something that that Floss had said. He was talking about, you know, the thing about the black youth don't have no one to listen to. And, you know, I can agree to that with that. to a certain extent. And having said that, I'll go back to that article I was reading last week about that debate that Don Lemon had got together. And then again, also that article that was written by that guy, Capehart. I mean, like supposedly Don Lemon being on CNN, and then again those whom he had on CNN with him, these are supposedly educated people. And then again, that Jonathan Capehart, he is supposedly educated. Now the thing is, are the youth supposed to listen to them? Huh?
Are the youth supposed to? You asking me?
Well, I'm not asking anybody. That's just a
I was going to say, I mean, in order for me to answer a question like that, I would have to know exactly who you're talking about. And I would have to do my research on those guys. But when I was saying that, I was basically saying, because what Cobra said after what I said is exactly what I meant. I just didn't get to say it off. But he was like, it starts with the parents. Like we always say on Truth Be Told, it starts at home, man. And I could tell you that my mama was an alcoholic, which she was. I can tell you all the bad things that happened in my life. But guess what? I came from a pretty decent, good home. You see what I'm saying? We was fed. We was clothed. We wasn't abused. I had friends. I wasn't like Mike and couldn't go outside. So what I'm saying is things start at home, man. But now our homes are filled with a lot of things to distract you, like technology. And every time I go outside now, everybody's on their phone. Everybody's connected to the web. And I'm not saying technology is a bad thing, but anything in abuse is not good for you. That's how I feel.
Well, the thing about it is, I'm going to go with Floss on this one.
Over.
Technology can be
a
distraction. Go ahead.
Yeah, go over. We have the boss lady on here. Let's see what she has to say going on
here.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Now, I know this is a man show tonight. I know you guys don't want the women, and I know this is a man show. But I think it's very important that we are involved because we are black, and the women need to be a part of this. I think that what we need to do is we need to come up because the marching, the singing, the meetings they're having, it's not working. More black people are dying by the week, okay? It's happening every week now. So, obviously, all the marching you guys are doing, it's not working. So, you need to come up. Number one, we don't have nobody to lead. And so I think somebody said that earlier. Nobody is leading. We had Martin Luther King. We had Malcolm X. We had a lot of people. And they're not here no more. But those guys, if you go back in history, those guys were leaders. People followed.
Right.
When they said, we're going to have a boycott, and we're going to boycott until we get what we want, we're not going to buy nothing else. We're not going to put no money back into other people's. We're not going to put no money into white people's, you know, businesses and this and that. That was back then. I'm not saying now. But back then, if they said, look, we're not going to ride the bus until we get what we want, so we can sit in the front or wherever we want to sit, that's what it's going to take. And I don't think people these days, all we're doing is marching, but we're not doing the work. If you want to make people pay attention, get them in their pockets. Get them in their pockets, because that's the only way they're going to listen.
Boss lady, I'm out of question for you. I got a question for you.
When taking those buses that day, that got their attention, because a lot of black people was taking the bus.
Boss lady, I'm going to ask you a question. Okay, since you are here and you're a representative of the black women, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you feel that single mothers are good and are harmful to the community as a whole?
Single mothers?
Single mothers.
Are they harmful?
Are they harmful to our community?
No. I think nobody plans to be a single mother. Nobody plans.
Okay.
I have sisters who are single mothers. Nobody plans to be a single mother. It's a situation that happens, and whoever you're dealing with, you don't go into a situation and say, oh, I'm going to be a single mother. It's something that most women, most of the situations I know, they thought they were going to be with the person, and it didn't happen like that. So, no, they're not harmful. That just happens. My mom was a single mother. She wasn't harmful.
She did the best she could do. Okay, I have another question then. Do you think the fathers are the missing fathers are the main reason why our community are dying?
Yes. If we don't blame anybody, let's blame it on the man. Because the man's supposed to be the head, right? So you got men leaving the family. I think that a lot of stuff that's happening today is because we're miseducated. We're not educated enough. You're not educating your kids at home. Somebody said that earlier, too. You're not giving them enough information to survive out on these streets and how to deal with these crazy-ass police.
But boss lady, I think it's not just men's fault. I think we can't just put it on one sex, color, creed or anything.
Okay.
I think it's both because when you're dealing with kids, that takes two. So both of those people should be adults and work together. No matter even if y'all can't be together, y'all still should work together for that kid y'all have. So I think it's kind of 50-50, and it's some blame on the man, but it's some blame on that woman. And now we just got
the man, because mostly the people who are being killed are men. So I'm saying usually the man in the house, if a man is absent in the house and if you have a son, it's hard for a woman to raise. We all know that a son is dead by a certain age.
Let me say something. I'm gonna say this, but you wouldn't blame the man if some of these one single mothers got allowed them to be fathers in these houses, because a lot of these women cock block them and they don't want them around. They take it like it's a package
true.
Deal. You
it's,
gotta
it's
deal with
no
me.
Blame
you gotta deal
nobody,
with the kids.
Well, no, the
it's
blame.
No blame
that's what you just said.
It's a
but the blame is
out. We're not gonna blame nobody, so we'll take the blame out. What we need to do is
blame the
adult. It's bigger than blaming anything. With the real situation right here today is black men are dying every week, every day. That's the situation. Nobody cares about the single parents, and that let's take that out. We need to come together. Blood, clip, whatever you are, single parent, not single parent, black people, Mexican people, people of color, we need to come
That's
together.
Right.
Forget all the other stuff. We'll get that. We'll come back to that. But today, we need to come together.
Okay.
We need to come together and figure out a plan. I'm not talking about marching. Fuck marching.
No.
It's not going to help.
I agree.
Okay.
I love
it. We need to figure out what we're going to do. Because guess what? Cobra, James, Timer, Frost, next week it could be your son, it could be your brother, it could be your cousin. And I'll be damned if it's anybody in my family.
See,
so
here's the thing about it. We're going to have to take a look back.
That's not the situation.
Okay, let's take that off the table. We're going to have to go over, like, I remember back in California, you may can address this, Ms. Kendi and Daya. Back in California, the Mexican people and people of Puerto Latin America had a problem with the governor. They stopped everything. They stopped working.
Yep.
They stopped taking trash. They stopped they stopped everything in mid-fucking motion. And literally the governor went to them and started begging them, hey, let's get this back together.
You know why, Colbert? One thing about the Mexicans, no matter what y'all say about them, because I live with them. I lived around them in L.A. They come the fuck together. They come together. They do that. Black people,
they do that.
The thing we don't know how to do is come together. We don't know how to come together. The Mexican people, you right, Cobra, they came together and they would shut it down. They would have you coming to them begging because... Guess what? They're a big part of this economy. We need this.
Exactly. The thing about it is,
when you realize that you're needed too, then you'll wake up. But we need to wake up.
And not only do they just come together, they so smart because I remember down here, you know, it's a lot of Hispanic, you know what I'm saying, people down here in St. Louis now. And I remember some of the jokes I used to hear where black people be, you know, it's 15 of them motherfuckers in one apartment. And I used to tell them I'd be the one. Look, I used to tell them that, but all 15 of them is going to be in a house in like 5 years, and you still going to be in that same damn apartment.
Listen to me, y'all. They have a plan when they go into things. We don't plan for shit. We just go out there and do march, put on our RIP t-shirt, and it's done. They plan. You may have 15 of them motherfuckers in the house, but 15 men are working. In combination, the rent is $1,000. The rent is $1,000. The rent is $1,000. All of them paying like $40. And they're making $1,500 apiece.
But you know
what? They're so smart.
But you know what? It's not even a thing about them them being so smart, because we are just as smart. But the thing is, let 15 of us try and live in some apartment. It won't happen. It won't be allowed.
No.
They'd have that marshal there, Q-U-I-C-K-L-Y, quickly. But then
again, guess what?
But guess what? It can happen.
It just don't happen because
we don't make it happen. All right. Listen. You just said it can happen, and I'm just saying that it won't happen because they would be there quicker than shit on a stick. Sorry for that expression, but it would be like that. But again, now coming back to something else that I was going to say. Okay, those Mexican people, they are not black.
Uh-huh.
They are not black in color. So like, therefore, it's their color itself, in a sense, in the eyes of this system, that gives them an extra notch. A case in point.
Oh, no,
Listen.
Bullshit. I'm going to call that bullshit.
I'm calling that bullshit.
Hey, man, look.
As an example.
Nah, bro. You got that wrong, man.
You guys have a Spanish person on the phone. Why don't you ask James? Let James comment on it.
Do they look at your color different because you're Hispanic and you're a little bit lighter and the white man appeal to you a little bit better? Is that true?
No, fuck no. All they gotta do is look at my last name there and make up their mind.
James just said that. Now let me finish. Saying what I want to say in terms of this example. Okay, in a town that I once lived in, there is this big Catholic church that is on a street, public street. However, at this point in time, at any day in time, that church will be filled with Mexicans or whomever they are, Spanish-speaking people, just lounging on the grass. Listen, just lounging on the grass. But listen, back in the day, before Mexicans began to come to that town and somewhat took over, let a black person, one black person, be laying on the grass there. He'd been arrested.
Okay, I'm going to stop you right there. Here's what your comment you just said that I'm agree and disagree with you. He said any time there's a Catholic church and they were lounging on the grass.
No, I didn't say any time there's a Catholic church. That's not what I said.
It's a Catholic church, and any time you can find Hispanic people laying out on that grass.
In my town, there are many Catholic churches in my town. But, however, there's one Catholic church that is on a busy thoroughfare. I guess that's where they come and hang out. And they be loitering. I mean, go ahead.
Bruh. You've been arrested. Let me say something. If not arrested, we would have been told to move along. Let me say something. I'm going to say something. The key word you said in that statement is before they came there and took over.
Well,
they
took over
that neighborhood.
Yes. Let me finish what I'm saying first.
The laws will change when you're the predominant. If you taking over something, guess what? You become the predominant person there. Guess what? The laws change for you.
Well, okay, perhaps.
And that's true.
Perhaps I used the wrong word there when I had said came and took over. No, it's not that they came and took over. They were allowed to come and take over. Put it differently.
Can I say something real quick, James? You were talking about that it was because of their ethnicity. Why society treated them this way. And the reason I say it's not is because I watched the documentary on TV, and it was about Oregon, and it was about safety nets, which the government create, and it was saying that it was cheaper for the government to keep them people in the house than to kick them out, than to let them, you know, they be, them get evicted and go to stay at a homeless shelter, because the government make more money off the homeless shelter. But that wasn't the point. The point was they had a Mexican gentleman on there. He got a job. He was trying to save his trailer he stayed in with a white woman. Now, he got a job at a place where not a lot of blacks and not a lot of Mexicans get hired. A white man came to him, and this is what he said on camera. A white man came to him. It was a car audio installation place, and I remember that because the white man made a comment about the systems, and he was like, all these niggers coming around here getting these systems put in their car, spending a lot of money. Then he looked at the Mexican dude and said, you ain't no nigger, are you? And that's my point. They look at them the same way. If you are a Mexican, they still project that same racism on them as well as they do on us. It's just who you follow and your circle and who you around. If
okay,
you
yes,
make,
in,
I'm
LA,
telling you,
in LA, you they don't get treated no different than the black people. I'm just going to
And that's
oh,
what
yes,
I'm saying.
No.
They
don't.
They
get pulled over
exactly.
the same as the black people. So.
Okay, but
exactly.
But like, listen to this though. Even in Spanish speaking cultures, no matter where in those countries, they have black people
mm-hmm.
who speak the same language. And then again, those black people in those countries are looked down upon, just as we in this country are looked down upon by those Spanish speaking, well, supposedly lighter or white looking Spanish speaking people.
Wow.
It's right there. Believe me.
But
right
we're
there.
Not talking
wow.
about we're not talking about tonight about other countries.
Yeah.
We're talking about America and what we can do better. And let's worry about
but,
other countries
but,
later.
Can I say something real quick before I leave?
Go ahead.
Us?
Go ahead, India.
I'm gonna
go
leave
ahead, go
y'all
ahead.
Man conversation. I just wanna say this. The reason why, and I hope you guys listen to what I'm about to say. The reason why
mm-hmm.
we can't get anywhere is because most of our conversations are like this, where we start off good, but then we go off into other shit that don't have nothing to do about the main topic is, what are we going to do about it? I'm going to leave you guys
exactly.
with that.
Exactly.
What the fuck are we going to do about it? Y'all don't need to talk about nothing else, but
great
what
point.
You going to
okay.
do about it? Because
point.
They didn't already
okay.
killed everybody else, and who else they going to kill now? Who's going to be a hashtag tomorrow? That's the topic.
Good night, Miss India. But here's the thing, she's absolutely right. She's absolutely right. Let's go right back to the beginning of the conversation, which I was going to do. Here it is. What solution, as men of color, can we do to interpolate into our community starting this week, next month, tomorrow? What can we do?
It's not like that, because, all right, consider this particular situation, historically speaking. Let us say, look how long the system of segregation was in place. And then again, when that system of segregation was in place, you had black men and black women both who were in positions. I'm not going to say positions of authority exactly, but then again, within their own inner circle, within the black community, they have positions there. But then again, still, look how long that system of segregation lasted with those black people there. It took people with the mindset of a Dr. King, but like not just him, but then again, there were others who were there who were not like the predominant how can I put it? They weren't like the majority of black people who were talking about, no, we got to go along to get along. You had, let's say, radical blacks who were also there. And then when Dr. King came along, he was more so in favor of a radical approach to this situation than those other people were. And then again, we had Malcolm X. When he came along, he was more in favor of a radical approach to this situation than the Nation of Islam was. So that's what we
okay,
are
then,
today still.
Let's put it like this. So the word is we got to be more radical. Do y'all agree or disagree?
But radical in what sense?
Radical
and when I say radical, not necessarily
okay.
violent, but
okay.
radical in
if
the sense
maybe.
That you must understand that the society in place that we're speaking about, which this is why the problem lies, is because at the end of the day, man, I still feel like this. I have no data, no proof, but at the end of the day, I feel like the society flows where if you have a poor running society, or even if it's the superpower of the world, the worse the society gets, the rise in crime and everything. But at the same time, go ahead, Frost.
Let me let you finish.
No, go ahead.
I'm gonna put it to you like this: we dragging this question along, and that's put it on front. What are we going to do? Period.
Well, listen
radical
to this, then.
Or whatever.
What are we?
I'm gonna go to Mr. Timer, Mr. Jones. Mr. Timer, what can we do? I'm tired of dragging this along because we're giving 101 at station. Reasoning. We're giving 101 different examples. We need to know a solution. As men, we all here. What can we implement now?
What we need to do is commit to moving forward and stop leading with our past. What happened yesterday and or 10 years ago to 100 years ago is irrelevant to where we can be. What we need to do is just take ownership to what, you know what I'm saying, all of our faults and own everything what it is and move forward, you know what I'm saying? The marching and everything is necessary, you know what I'm saying? And Nonviolence. Nonviolence is where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Being a true people guy, nonviolence is where it's at. But yet, the key to it all is to not be the provoker, but to be the provoked. And that's what the marching does. We're being provoked,
okay.
But yet...
Hold that thought, time. I'm going to go to Floss. Floss, what do we need to do, baby? What do we need to do to implement something right now?
No, did Floss drop? Yeah, I guess Floss dropped.
Okay.
Oh, there you go. To implement something right now, basically,
right now, today, tonight,
you know what I'm saying? It's about reaching people, man. It's about us communicating. And first of all, we touched on it earlier, how broken up the our own communities are.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay.
You got to...
Okay. Go ahead, Frost. Go ahead.
You got to rebuild. First of all, you have to rebuild you. You got to have... You got to be unified in order to get anything done. Any type of petition you need that they even gonna listen to has to have over 10,000 people petitioning. Strength, like I keep telling people, strength is in numbers, bro. And that's why I was saying, anybody of color and of whatever, if you feel the same way, it's time for us to for real make some noise. You know what I'm saying? But make it in a way where it don't involve us going to jail. I mean, the things that's happening down here because of the Ferguson stuff and the looting and everything is not getting nothing accomplished.
Floss, I'm going to put it to you like this. Here's the thing. I'm going to go to Mr. Jones after I say my statement. If we do go to jail, if we have to pay with our own lives, this is the type of thing. If you want freedom, you might have to pay with blood. That's the cost of it. You got to, as Mr. Jones said earlier, you got to be willing to go all the way. And a lot of us talk a good game, a lot of us march out here and light candles and shit, but in the end, we don't want to go all the way. So I'm going to Mr. Jones. Do we need to go all in? Yes, it may be, go all in. Mr. Jones?
Well, evidently, and yes. But having said that, I was going to bring up earlier about something I had read about the NAACP. I think it's there in Georgia. The NAACP president had said, strangely, but I read that he said it, that black people need to arm themselves in the face of police brutality. And I mean, that's just on that level.
But that's what I'm saying. Black people have been arming themselves.
Yeah, they have.
It's just they ain't been doing smart things with their firearms.
Well, so that's why we're arming themselves for what purpose? Arming themselves for
okay,
what
time,
purpose?
Hold on.
Stop it.
Timer said something. No. Timer just said something. What did you just say, Timer? What did you just say?
Is arming us is what we need to do. You know what I'm saying? Is that the purpose behind it? You know, we have to arm ourselves.
Well,
is that what we've come to? You know what I'm saying? But,
you want to know something, though? That is an action. That's not all that we need to do. No, it's not. But that's something that
but that's already
as,
our constitutional
as we have
right.
said earlier, as we have said earlier, it's not just one thing that we have to do. There are a combination of things that have to be done to show others that we are serious.
And that's what I said earlier, didn't I? I said it takes multiple things to happen. But, for instance, arming yourself. The government has found a way around everybody arming themselves. And if anybody pays attention, because like I stated earlier, I'm a registered gun holder. You can have your gun, but they made it extremely hard to get ammo because in the Constitution it says you have the right to bear arms. It don't say shit about ammo.
About ammo.
So therefore, it's hard to get ammo for your gun to even be useful. And it's real talk, dog. So,
that's
true. That's what I'm saying. But, you got to pay attention and you got to be aware of your surroundings at all time. I mean, I feel like that's
and
the only way I survive.
He's absolutely right.
I'm going to do it like this.
What Floss just said, absolutely, it's the same way down here in Miami. You know what? I can buy firearms till the sun come up. But let me go inside and ask for some ammo. They want my ID. They want my Social Security card. They damn near want my blood type to get ammo for that gun. So the point of the fact is they find the loopholes to stop us from doing things. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to Mr. Acevedo one more time. I feel what Floss said and what Timer said. We got to march. And I'm agree with the marching thing, but we got to march with purpose. We have to have communities, leaders stand up in their communities and take stand with these people. We have to bring back these fathers back into these children's lives and let them know what the balance of action is. Heads of the family and wives and fathers and mothers and fathers acting together. We have to take over our community. I'll say it again, and I'll say it one. I'm the first one to believe we got to purge these motherfuckers that ain't worth shit to our community out of our community. The white people do it all the time.
Yeah, we
got to
pull the weeds out of our
trash,
community.
We got to pull the weeds out the garden, as he just said. And so I'm going to go straight to Mr. Acevedo. What do you think we need to do right now?
This actually goes back full circle what we've been talking about all these weeks. It's funny how it comes all together. We kind of said this when we were talking about what we needed to do to change that sheep mentality. This goes back to it. We have to have leadership, whether it's me, whether it's you, whether it's anybody, and to go to these young people and go to them, just like what Tim was talking about earlier, like, you know, what's going on? Is everything all right? So tell them what's right and wrong, and teach them, make them grow. You know, we're the fertilizer. And then when we give them that fertilizer, then they can grow. They could be a leader, and then they could pass it on to the next generation, the next generation. That's what needs to be done. Because if that isn't done, this bullshit is going to continue on, and it's going to be worse and worse, and God knows what the hell we're going to be, you know, 5 years
from
now, 10 years from now.
Real.
You know?
Let's be real. This bullshit been going on since the 60s.
Yes.
Come on,
yeah. Well,
they've been killing us since the 60s.
Before
Let's be
that.
Real.
Before
yeah.
that.
Before that. But the thing about it is, like Mr. Jones said, you had radical thinkers like Malcolm. You had thinkers like Martin Luther King, who was willing to pay the price with blood. We talk a good game.
Right.
And I'm going to say that again. We talk
That's
a good
right.
game. We talk a good game, and we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and we're going to be bad motherfuckers. But when it comes down to it, we out there with our little picket sign, walking up and down the street, we shall overcome, and not a damn thing happens. So I'm going to Mr. Jones. What do you think?
Well, basically, that's the type of leadership that we have right now. Because, you know, in speaking
but
about
Mr. Jones,
Malcolm.
Mr. Jones, we in the wee hours, baby. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you off right there. This is. We just 12:02. I just look down and say, man, it went fast, brothers. But we're going to say it like this. We're going to let Mr. Jones give you a final thought. And I'm going to thank Floss. I want to thank Connor for coming.
Oh, for sure. We appreciate
y'all
it.
Y'all are fantastic. And this is these brothers from Truth Be Told, one from Vamp City. Check them out on their shows on Wednesdays and Mondays because these brothers are the truth. That's why I had them on the show tonight.
That's
so,
right.
Mr. Jones, you give your final thought, sir.
Okay, what I was going to say is then what I was going to say, and that is that, you know, even when Dr. King came up, I mean, he was talking, but then again, there were those who were listening to what he was saying. And at the same time, even when Malcolm came up, there were those who were there to listen to what Malcolm was saying. But then again, you had a lot who weren't listening and didn't want to listen to what either one of them was saying. That's it.
Okay, Mr. Acevedo, give your final thought.
My final thought is this, just like I was saying before, we need to walk the walk when we do the talk. You know, talk the talk, we got to walk the walk. We got to do it. It doesn't take overnight. It doesn't even take next week. It's going to take time. But in order for us to grow as a society, we need to go to our young. And we don't do that, like I said, it's never going to end. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. The Wild West is going to get wilder, and, you know, God knows where we're going to be. So we need to start within. We need to start within. Start within and then go out after that. Once we take care of our own, then we take care of everything else. That's all I got to say about that.
Well, I'm going to end this thought, and we're going to go right into our song after this. My thought is it starts at home, but it starts within our community. We as men have to take over our communities once again. We are the warriors. We are the men that protect the women as well as our children. We need to insert ourselves back into our community. Let us know that we are here. If you're a big brother, if you're helping your stepson, if you're helping your neighbors who don't have a male figure, and you just say, hey, how you doing? I want to know about your son. If we just take an interest in one another as men and take our community back, we can build up where we have left off. We left
Preach.
Our women in the dirt. We left our women and children down. Now we got to stand up, pick up these people, and go forward. Or we're going to do nothing but be a shooting in the field and just goddamn deer in the headlights. So until we get up and stand up, fuck, we dead as well, dead on arrival. So get off your ass, man, and let's get play that last song. Thank you.
There you go. There you go, everybody. Yeah, and thanks for listening to Urban Society. We are heading out to the distance until next Sunday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Urban Society, baby.
Yeah, that's right. That's
thank
right.
Thank you, brother, for coming. Everybody, thank y'all, man. Y'all did awesome tonight.
Pleasure. Anytime, anytime.
Let's go. Until next.
And also, let me give a shout out to Endaya. She came on there and set this motherfucker on fire. That's what I got under. She's on fire, and she just said the exact thing. Thank you all. Let's play that last song, baby. Let's get into it. Y'all have a blessed night.
Who are you? You don't know. Don't tell me Negro. That's nothing. What were you before the white man named you a Negro? What was your name? It couldn't have been Smith or Jones or Bunch or Powell. That wasn't your name. They don't have those kind of names where you and I came from. No, what was your name? And why don't you now know what your name was?
The old ones bloody up for stomping out old suckers. Big bad killer, big black low griller. King Kong on you monkey ass niggas. Seven fish, funky ass niggas. Dick in the booty for your mouth ass niggas. I don't fear no man. Not Bush, not Clinton, not Osama. Ask your Uncle Thomas how he choose mouth over Obama. You could have $1 million and a white collar. Liberation costs more than a damn dollar. It costs what Christ gave. $1 billion don't make you an ex-slave. Nigga with an attitude since fifth grade. I never behave. I'd rather be a dead man than a live slave. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on. Well, goddamn it, I'm gone. Put the pressure on. Put the pressure on, homie. Put the pressure on. Put the pressure on, homie. Put the pressure on. Put the pressure on. Here to deprogram you. Don't forget what they made your great grandmama do. What they made your great granddaddy do. Without a dollar or a penny or a thank you. The same motherfuckers wanna gank you. Cause they hate you and the pussy that you came through. Could anybody tell me that it ain't true? That these motherfuckers ain't out to hurt you. They'll lock you up, beat you up, and hurt you. Put your life on a 30-year curfew. Little cell, little window for you to look through. Even got a little chair where he can cook you. Nigga, please, I'ma be in the breeze. Beat him up with my brain like the Japanese. Now I'm overseas, and I'm trapping these. Thank God I didn't have to cock and sweep. We can say what we like. Put the pressure on. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on. Well, goddammit, I'm gone. honor and death. You a Judas to us, nigga. Kill yourself.
We can say what we like. Put the pressure on me. Ice Cube and Killer Mike. Put the pressure on me. I can do what I want. Put the pressure on me. Well, goddamn it, I'm going. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. Put the pressure on me, homie. Put the pressure on me. The pressure was high. The pressure was high.
No Negro leaders have fought for civil rights. For civil rights. They have begged the white man for civil rights. They have begged the white man for freedom. And anytime you beg another man to set you free, you will never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. And until the American Negro lets the white man know that we are really, really ready and willing to pay the price that is necessary for freedom, our people will always be walking around here second-class citizens, or what you call 20th century slaves.
What price are you talking about, sir?
The price of freedom is death.